Okay, men. Looks like we have critical mass. Just wanted to bring your attention to the center of the table you're at. There'll be some sheets though there. Our presenter tonight, Joe Henriquez, who's the campus pastor of this church. Welcome, Joe. And he had about, a couple weeks notice on this?
Doesn't matter.
Which is really a long time. Typically, we get thrown in at the last minute when people leave town. So Joe is ultimately well prepared. He's a quintessent professional giving us handouts. So thank you, Joe.
Sure.
And with that, I just want to turn the podium over to Joe Henriquez, our campus pastor. All yours.
Okay, thank you. Well, good evening, everyone. Good to see you. This is really great. First time I've been here, on a Thursday night. Well, first time I was ever invited. So thanks a lot for that. Okay, thank you. I was never told that before. All right. Well, good. I was especially interested in the study that you're having in Joshua, and I started being interested in Joshua back when I was at Moody Graduate School, because I would go to the huge gym that we had there, the Solheim. If you've been there, it's just a great building, lots and lots of stuff in there, and I would get on the elliptical. And as I've always said to people, I'm convinced that the elliptical is the Protestant version of purgatory, because I'm on that thing, and I got to keep up with the time, with the speed, and everything. And I figured, what can I do to take my mind off of all this pain? And so what I did was I memorized scripture. So I started memorizing Joshua, chapter 1, and so I had a keen interest in what you're doing here. So I was very glad to participate here. Well, let me start off by saying that a few years ago, Bonnie and I traveled to Portugal, Bonnie being my wife, for the 25th anniversary of the churches and the school that we had started there when we were missionaries. And if you've been to Portugal, you know that there is this beautiful edifice there that's called the Monument of the Discoveries. It's on the Tagus River. Built in about 1960 to commemorate the 500th anniversary of the death of Prince Henry the Navigator, and also to commemorate, the Portuguese Age of Discovery. And so there you have up front Prince Henry the Navigator with a caravel in his hand. And then behind him, you have images of renowned patrons and explorers, Vasco da Gama, Christopher Columbus. I'm sure that you can spot them, right? But they're there. And just to show you how large this thing is, there's Bonnie looking up at it. And so it's big. It's a big deal. And one reason why I like that so much is because it speaks of exploration. And I look at life that way. It's an exploration. Now, there are times when we don't look at life that way because it tends to be a drudgery, but really it is an exploration of new experiences that we've never had before, a knowledge that we've never had before, and all these things are treasures that God gives to us. So the purpose for tonight, especially based on this study, is for us to capture some of those principles that God gave to Joshua when he first started out. And basically what he was saying to Joshua was this: Joshua, I want you to leave the past, and I want you to look to the future. Now, I'm hoping that the goal will be achieved, namely that all of us will increase in our willingness to say, okay, Lord, with these principles and others that you've taught me, you know what? I'm going to leave the past, and I'm going to head on to the future that you've given to me. Now, I'm especially interested because as I read through Joshua, the first 12 chapters, which you've already completed, I wondered if Joshua had used those principles as he went on to chapter 13 to 21. Because, as you know, chapters 1 through 12 are like action-packed. I mean, we're talking about battles, and we're talking about, you know, idols falling down. We're talking about things that were so exciting. And then we come to chapter 13 to 21. It's sort of like stayed management, you know. And I'd rather live in 1 through 12 than 13 to 21. But still, 13:21 was where we can see whether or not he was really faithful or successful, or both. Okay. So let's look through the principles here that I have for you, and they're on your handout. So if you want to follow those, make some notes on them, and then and also look up here if you'd like. Okay, so here we have the first word that God gave to Joshua. So bear with me as I'm reviewing things that you've already gone over, but that's okay. Review is good. Let's read together this particular verse. You ready? Here we go. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. Okay, so consider past events, as I have up here. Catalyst for change. I mean, past events were important. And then God said to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, Joshua was remembering all the past events. But then God says, Moses, my servant, is dead. And I've often thought, why did he have to say that? It's like Joshua knows that. But God was making a point. The past was the past. The future is the future. And as you know, Joshua was 80 years in training, you know, 40 years in Egypt, 40 years in the wilderness, and then 25 years as the leader of the nation. But God was saying that events that happened in the past changed past history, and now they're a launching pad for the future. And so God was just saying, consider past events catalysts for change. Now we understand that, but here's the problem. Many times when I live my life now, it's with pictures that I have of the past, of what happened in the past. So I operate now as if I were in the past. The problem is that God has different pictures in his mind. And that's part of the reason why we get so confused. We say, Lord, but this doesn't make sense, whatever it is that happened in my life. But God is saying, I gave you the past. It changed history, but it was a catalyst now for you to keep on going into the future. Remember that the Lord said, remember the past, I am God. And then he also says, don't remember the past, I'm going to do a new thing. Okay, so that's one principle. Now here's another principle that I found here so helpful. Visualize success in your calling. Let's read this verse together. I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. Okay, that was a little bit weak. Let's do it again. I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. Now, when I was at Moody Graduate School, this may seem like a small thing, right? But the graduate school offices were few. And I needed to expand our territory. The problem was that right within our own jurisdiction there, other organizations had rented the space. But I wanted that space. I needed that space. So when I was memorizing this, I will give you every place where you set your foot. So here's what I did. I say, okay, Lord, every single place where I'm walking right now, and I walk through all those offices, okay, Lord, I claim this for you right here. You know, I claim that for you right here. Because you said every place. Now, this doesn't work really in real life, right? But I was saying, Lord, every place that I set my foot, I'm claiming it for you. Because what was I doing? I was visualizing offices there. I was visualizing the expansion of the school. I was visualizing that the Lord was going to do something really special here. So I took this to heart. Now, he says, as I promised Moses. Now, Joshua, as I said, was 40 years in Egypt, 40 years in the wilderness, as I promised Moses. Where did Joshua's mind go to? He went to the plagues of Egypt. He went to the Ten Commandments. He went to the Passover, the Exodus. He went to the water from the rock. He went to military victories. You see, God was telling this to Joshua. And Joshua remembered all the mighty things that God had done through Moses. And so he was visualizing, wow, whatever God did for Moses is what God is going to do for me. So it was going in his mind. That's a very important principle. If you can't visualize your success where you are right now, you need to get some help. Because God has placed you where he wants you to be. And God wants you to visualize that success that he has for you there. Visualize with biblical promises. Now, bear with me here. God told Moses, I will bring you out. I will rescue you from their bondage. I will redeem you. I will take you as my people. I will be your God. I will bring you into the land. I will give it to you as a heritage. Now, don't answer this question the way you think it should be answered, because it'll be wrong. If I were to ask you, what tense is that? I will bring you out. I will rescue you from their bondage. We would say, future tense. But it wasn't. In the Hebrew, it was past tense. It was past perfect. What God was saying is, it's already done. Now, to you, it's future. But as far as I'm concerned, it's already done. Isn't that incredible? That God gives us promises that in his mind are already done. And Joshua was given the same kind of promises. Be strong, courageous. You'll put this people in possession of the land. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful not to turn away, etc. I command you, be strong and courageous, and so forth. Now, just let me go on here, because I think these are great principles. Visualize with biblical promises, and then visualize with better practices. And what I mean by that is this. It's a new experience that God leads you to. You've never been there before. You know, I used to say that when the kids were growing up, I don't say that anymore. When I was growing up, because I've never had that experience before. I had to learn new ways of dealing with what was in front of me, because it was a new situation. It was a new day. Joshua had never stepped into the Jordan before. Joshua had never marched around a city before seven times. I mean, you know, talk about, creative warfare. But God gives us his image so that we can have better practices now than when we did in the past. Okay, let me go on with another one here. And then visualize with practical realities. The reason I say that is because I'm 65. Okay? All right. And I can't do the things that I used to do. I thought that I could when I started P90X. All right? Yay with Tony, you know, doing all this stuff. And then he went to one of those curl things. And I thought back, shoot, you know, when I was in high school, you know, I could do all these things. So I started doing all these curls the way that Tony did all these curls. And then for probably 3 or 4 months, I couldn't do anything because I was totally messed up. I could never do today what I did in Portugal in a short amount of time with starting 2 churches and a school. It's just impossible for me to replicate that. All I'm saying is this. As we visualize success towards what God has called us to do, we do that looking at the promises. We do that looking at the practices. And we do that looking at the realities. Okay. Now let's keep on going here. All right, next principle. Focus your energy within your boundaries. Let's read this verse together. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. So what he was saying is, you'll be successful, but only within the sphere in which I call you to. Now, don't go out there like Alexander the Great and try to conquer the world. God has given each one of us a sphere of responsibility, a jurisdiction. And it's within that sphere, that jurisdiction, that God wants me to trust him. God wants me to to trust Him for His mighty power in that place, to change attitudes, change lives, whatever it is. Romans chapter 12 says this, be honest in your estimate of yourselves, measuring your value by how much faith God has given you. God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. That's from Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 6. He says this again, be honest in your estimate of yourselves, measuring your value by how much faith God has given you. What does he mean by that? When I was memorizing this, that's what I said. I said, what? What do you mean, measuring that by how much faith you have given me? Look, God has given me and given you certain gifts and talents. Gifts are spiritual, talents are natural. And what God is saying is, I have given you faith to do in your sphere of influence what I want you to do. You see it and I don't. For example, Doc, who led me to Christ, he's a dentist. He led me to Christ. Doc has led over 1,000 people to Christ in Venice, Florida. He had faith to see God use him to win these people to Christ, scuba diving, you know, doing all these fun things, fishing. He takes people out or he picks them up on the road, shares Christ with them. He has that natural gift. So he has faith for that sphere of influence. But not faith like Billy Graham had faith, you know, for whole countries, whole nations. So an important principle, focus your energy within the boundaries of your gifting where God has placed you. Okay, now this is another interesting one. Consider yourself invincible until your mission is complete. Let's read that together. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Now, I don't know where you are in terms of, when I say you know, each one of us individually, where each one of us is in terms of our confidence, our certainty that God has a purpose for me and God is not going to allow me to die until that purpose is accomplished. But that's what he was telling Joshua. Don't be afraid, because God knew he was sending Joshua into some very dangerous territory. And what he was saying is, don't worry about that. No one will be able to stand up to you. You will live every day in full confidence with me. So don't abuse, I know you don't, your power and influence, you know, like Satan tried to do with Jesus. Throw yourself down for the temple. I couldn't help but put this one in here. Because I was looking up human cannonballs and stuff for some reason. In other words, we don't do things that are crazy and saying, you know, I'm invincible till my mission is complete. No. Like Pilate told Jesus, don't you know that I have the power of life and death over you? And Jesus said, you have no power unless my Father gives it to you. God has a plan for your life. He has a plan for my life. And every single day, we should wake up with full confidence and saying, Lord God, I thank you that today is the day that I'm going to live for you, and I'm going to live for you fully, completely, freely, and I'll be alive today, fully aware of all that you have for me. Okay, and next one is this. That's principle. Frame your mind with God's word. Let's read this together. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. I've been a Christian since 1964. That's when I first came to know Jesus. It's been a fantastic next year, 50 years with the Lord. I can't believe it, right? I was in high school at the time. And I've picked up some important thoughts along the way. Well, one thought is that there's so much more that I don't know. So I get that thought really well. But a main thought is this. When I have God's Word resident in my mind, when I have that living Word of God resident in my spirit, when that Word of God, which is alive and vibrant, is resident in my physical body, I'm becoming more and more like Jesus. One reason that Jesus Christ was such a powerful human being was because his mind, his spirit, and his body were all in complete sync and alignment with what God had said. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the power of that kind of person? Complete sync with the Father. I told this fellow that I met in the Guatemalan airport, we got a very interesting conversation. I shared this at First Light if you were there. But he was a Buddhist, and he was also a surgeon, a neurosurgeon and so forth. And he was talking about these places where they have conferences, and they're trying to figure out how that the body can be in alignment with the soul and all this kind of thing. And I said, Ted, have you seen those pictures of that man like this? You know, all those arrows going through him like he's at one with the universe. I said, that's Jesus Christ. If you want to just look at what it is for a person to be perfectly in alignment with God. So frame your mind with God's Word. Dallas Willard said this, I am learning from Jesus to live my life as He would live my life if He were I. I am not necessarily learning to do everything He did, but I am learning how to do everything I do in the manner that He did all that He did. And then last principle is this. Use your position to lead others. Let's read this together. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. And that's what you do. You're a leader. I led my family. 5 children. I lead my wife. And sometimes it's not easy to lead. You'd rather not face whatever you have to face. But you know what? God has called us. He's called you and He's called me to be a leader within my jurisdiction, within my sphere of influence. So inspire others onto that victory. Now, I asked the question here on your handout. Was Joshua successful in leaving the past and looking to the future that God had planned? Well, I read these verses and I went through those chapters, and here's what I saw. When Joshua had grown old, the Lord said to him, you are now very old. Yeah, thanks, Lord. Really appreciate that confirmation. Okay, and there are still very large areas of land to be taken over. This is the land that remains. Well, he was hard at it, but you know what? There was still land to conquer. And then I went over to Joshua 19. When they had finished dividing the land into its allotted portions, the Israelites gave Joshua, son of Nun, an inheritance among them. And then, so they finished dividing the land. I love that. That little phrase there. So they finished dividing the land. Mission accomplished. That's exactly what God had called him to do. And then I skipped over to Joshua 24. I know you'll look at this later on. But let's read this verse here together, well-known verse. Now, therefore, revere the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. So all the way to the end, here we have Joshua starting out. Starting out at 80, all right, and marching forth into an area where he had never gone before in his life, trusting God in new experiences, trusting God for knowledge he never had before, you know, framing his mind with God's Word, all these things that we put up here, you know, he considered the past events catalysts for change, he visualized success in his calling, He focused his energy within his boundaries. He considered himself invincible until his mission was complete. And he framed his mind with God's word. He influenced others. So there you go. Was Joshua perfect? No, we know that. He was human like we are. But to me, it's an awesome thought that one man can hear what God has to say, use those principles as well as he can use those principles every day. Say, Lord, here we go, you and me. And when you wake up in the morning, say, Lord, I know what happened yesterday, but you know, that was yesterday. Thank you, I'm forgiven for yesterday, and that was lessons learned. And now, Lord, today is today. It's a brand new day. Your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I hope you have your time of singing to the Lord. I hope you have your time of reading God's word. I have my little motto, which says this: no Bible, no computer. Death happens to the Bible as soon as I open up the computer. You understand what I'm saying? Once we get into that computer, all of a sudden, there we go. But I say, no, you know what, Lord Jesus? The world can wait for 30 minutes while I spend time with you. So I read his word. I journal what he teaches me. It changes my whole life. You know, I've studied the Bible for years. I just want you to know that that was very helpful. But it's nothing compared with the word that God gives me this morning, with the word that God gives me tomorrow morning. That is what molds my life, gives me freedom, gives me joy, gives me everything. One great man of God, George Mueller, said that the first thing I do every single morning is to make sure that my soul is happy in the Lord. That's awesome. Then I treat Bonnie as I should treat her, love her as I should love her, take care of my children, take care of my environment, do the best that I can. You understand what I'm saying? It's the word of God in our minds, in our spirit, in our soul. Well, I received word from your leader here who introduced me that I can talk for as long as I like, but that you all will leave about 9. And so I take that real seriously because I feel so badly, you know, for you to do that. But I know that you. Thank you so much for letting me be here. I'm going to close in prayer right now. Father, I thank you for every man here. Thank you, Lord, that we have your great servant, Joshua. I mean, Lord, this was written hundreds of years ago. And here we are talking today about those great principles of life that you gave to him as you gave him his charge. Here's what I want you to do for me. Thank you, Lord, for all those years of preparation. Thank you for helping him endure hardship. I'm sure he had temptation along the way, many troubles. Thank you, Lord, for the way that he trusted you. And, oh, Lord, thank you so much that that's what you want of us. And thank you that there'll be a day when you'll say to us, okay, you've achieved the fullness of life. And you've accomplished my purposes. And so come with me, so that you can live life fully. Thank you, Lord, that we have this promise and this hope. In your name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, John.
Yep.